is very specific in how it's including the task that we have to do. So you might say, well, who's left out of responsibility in this Torah portion? No one. Everyone here has to pay close attention because we all have a responsibility. And this Torah portion literally sets that up. And so what happens lots of times is we don't understand that we have a responsibility as believers. We're not just believers and we're safe and we're just waiting to go to heaven. We have a responsibility to minister to the people that are in our lives. Most of the time, the first people we have to minister to is our family. It's our family. It might be your son, your daughter. It might be the wife ministering to her husband, the husband ministering to her wife. That is a responsibility that we have, and we have to take that to heart. Now, how do we learn that? The Torah teaches that principle. And so while we focus on trying to get everything right, sometimes these things get lost in the process. So you have to ask yourself, as a man, when's the last time you actually ministered to your wife or to your children? As a woman, you ask, when's the last time I ministered to my husband and my children? Not to mention, when our parents get older, we're to minister to them. It's not a choice you make. You don't choose to do that. It's made for you. As a matter of fact, he commands it. We're commanded to take care of our family when they get older. But they don't believe like me. What does that have to do with it? We're commanded. And so we have responsibility, and this Torah portion deals with those responsibilities that everyone has. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we get started and we read through this. So we're understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. So we say that all the time, but I want you to think about this. The Torah portion is for us to look at and see the scripture. And if he says something there that he dislikes, what does that mean? Does that mean somehow later on in time, if we hold off enough, he'll start liking it? If he said he disliked it when he gave it on Mount Sinai, he still dislikes it today. It's no different. Just because we live in a different time don't you know he knew that we'd still be needing this this time when he gave it? So he gave it for all times. This is for all times, not a Mount Sinai time, not Bible day times. He gave his likes and his dislikes are for all times. And so these are just some things I wanted to make sure that everybody understands. This is not, well, that was back then, we don't have to do that now. These are terms that we should never think about. The only reason we think about those terms or make a statement like that is because we don't really want to do it. And so we're making a statement that justifies a behavior that we have. You ever thought how peaceful it would be and how more relaxing it would be if we just yielded to what he said and say, God, because after all, he's the one paid the price in full for us. It's been paid in full. He took me out of the miry clay and gave me a brand new start. And we should want to do it out of what? What's the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit? Out of love. We should want to do it out of love. We should work on that. So when we say, just saying it, I don't know when's the last time you said it, but I just want to tell you, Yehovah, I love you. Think about that. When you say that love that you have for him don't mean that you turn around and you're adamant that you don't have to do this one because it's not for me. When you say you love him, you're trying to find a way how you can actually obey what he's commanded us to do. We're not trying to find ways around, loopholes, and you're reading. If you're reading the Bible and trying to find a loophole around a command, chances of you learning anything is going to be slim and none. But if you just read it for what it says and realize that it's not just for that time, what he said, he meant what he said. And one of the things that Yeshua said that I think is very important, he said, Lord, everything you told me, I told them. Now, what was the one thing that Adam and Eve got caught with in the garden by? Satan told him, God's really not giving you all the goodness. He's not really showing you everything. He's keeping something from you, like this tree. Because if he wanted you to have everything and be all you can be, you could have this tree too. So he's withholding from you. So you don't have to wait for him to give it to you. You can take it and you can know good and evil for yourself, and you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Who here thinks God's holding back something from us? Or do you think he's exposed himself in full glory to us, his full goodness, that he really cares about us? But how many believe that we hold back from God? Don't turn that page, Lord, not that one. Don't turn that one. Because I got some stuff in there I ain't dealt with yet. And we'd be embarrassed. And so thank God that he's so good to us that he works with us. He works with us every day, and I'm thankful for it. So we'll get right started in this. 34, Torah portion number 34. Bamidbar, Hebrew, for in the wilderness of Sinai. So say Bamidbar. Bamidbar. In the wilderness. In this Torah portion, we're starting the first book in Numbers, chapter 1 through 4:20. So there's a lot of scripture reading there. The half Torah is Hosea chapter 2, verse 1 through 22. And go read Hosea. It's very important. So, like I said, if you're going to do the Torah portions, there's no way we're going to get to all four chapters in the time we have. But you can read all four chapters. I think it's a simple assignment for us. And it shows our dedication, just like keeping up with the counting the Omer. That's not as easy as you saying it, is it? You got to actually demand it from yourself. You demand it from yourself. But it's important that we do it. And I can't tell you, I can't explain to you how important it is we do it. One day, I'll be able to explain it to you. And I pray that day comes sooner, much sooner than later. I know why we should do it. But explaining it to you how important it is, it's hard to say in just a few statements. You'd have to see it throughout the scripture, how important it is. So I often wonder, why did he gave us the date for Passover, gave us the time for it, but we know when first fruits are going to happen. He tells us when the resurrection took place. He tells us that. Then he says to count to the next feast. So we got to count 7 Sabbaths, and then the one after, that gets us there. The rest of them, he gives us the time. This is when this is going to happen. Yom Teruah, we know when it's going to happen. We know when Yom Kippur is going to happen. We know about Sukkot, and we know about the 8th day. We know about that. But this one, he says, count. You ever wondered why? Why does he want us to count? Because he wants us to be in a habit of doing things in a cycle. He wants us to understand that he has a cycle called time, and his time works in sevens. Because we count, and then every year, so we start, we have a cycle. The first cycle is in week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we get used to that. So everybody knows you're not going to find yourself saying, man, I didn't even know today was the Sabbath. I lost count, or I missed my days. You ever said that statement in doing stuff in life in general? Oh man, I forgot what day it was. Because we're susceptible to just be so busy, we don't even know what day it is. I've done it before. You know, I'm thinking in my mind, today's Friday and it's Thursday. And so I'm thinking Friday, it's Friday, and it's Thursday. But if I'm practicing counting, that wouldn't happen. I'm in the habit of it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shabbat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shabbat. Everybody say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shabbat. So, I was in a haircutting place, and I was doing a test. Because I read stuff, but it's got to be proven. Right? How many know we should try to prove all things? We should work on it. So, I'm doing a test in my studies, and I'm sitting in the barber's chair, sitting there. And I'd read something in a book but I never proved it. And so I'm sitting there, and I said to the guy, I said, you know, he's cutting my hair, and I only knew him for a little while because it was a new barber. So I'm sitting there, and I said, let me ask you something. You go to church? Boy, the buzzer thing goes off. He was trimming the back of my head, and he stopped. He said, nobody ever asked me that. Then he starts telling me about what he used to do, and he felt bad. I convicted him, right? Just asked him one question. He said, I was living in the Dominican Republic, but I used to go with my mom and them, but I don't like that. You know? I said, well, you can finish cutting my hair. But I knew what I did. I messed this whole day up just by asking him the question. So I said, well, I got another question. Buzzer thing goes off again. He said, what is it? I said, how many days in a week? He said, well, seven. I said, so when you say the seventh day in your language, what is it? He said, Sabbaton. I said, okay, you helped me with my test. Do you know most of the countries have never changed the seventh day to be Sabbath? But we have. But because we have, are we the ones who control what God does? Or are we to submit what God wants us to do? So anyway, that was just one little test. So you can test stuff all the time without getting too preachy or anything. You can test some things. You just got to ask the right people. So that was one guy. So I asked another guy the same thing. He told me the same answer. In our country, he said, it's known as the Great Sabbaton. And I said, what does that mean? He says, it's a big day. The big day is Saturday. So we have to learn to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Shabbat. That's a cycle in God's time. How many want to understand the Bible? If you don't understand that, you're going to miss most of the prophecies in the Bible. Do you know that? You want to understand. Then we got to learn how to count the Omer. We got to count 7 Sabbaths. So if he tells me to count 7 Sabbaths, am I going to start on day 4 of the week? When am I going to start? If I'm counting 7 Sabbaths, when am I going to start? Tomorrow after the Shabbat is day 1. I start day 1, I count to 7, that's 1 week. I count 7 more, it's 2 weeks. And what week are we in? So today is day what? So this evening we're entering into? Right. And so thank God for his goodness. Now we'll learn to count that, and the day after is the Shavuot. So he's telling them this stuff. He's explaining this to them. But then he tells them, when you come into the land, Leviticus 25, we just went over it. We're to count years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seventh year. It's a Shemitah. Everybody say Shemitah. Now, how many in here knows anything biblically about the Shemitah year? It's difficult to know. We know a little. We heard it before. You heard it. You heard it here. You heard me say it a couple times. But we don't know. I don't know nothing about it. So if you know, please tell me. So we never done it. What my point is. And so we have a limited resource. We're counting the years. Why do we have to count the year, the Shemitah years? Because we got to do 7 Shemitahs. What happens on the 50th one? It's called a what? The Jubilee, or we say it in Hebrew, the Yovel. The Yovel. So we have the Jubilee year. Now, I'm reading through the Torah portion, getting ready for the next week. So when I get home, I'm already starting. When I get home tonight, I'm starting for the next week's Torah portion because I got to start because I got other things that I'm working on as far as teachings. Remember, I teach here, but I also teach other places. And I can't teach what I teach here in other places because maybe it's not time yet. I don't know. So when I get started, and I'm starting, I'm passed up 25, I'm on my way, I'm moving on, I'm getting to my midbar, and I'm trying to get this one in, and the Lord keeps drilling me about this. You got to go back and read 25. So I went back and read 25, Read 26. I read 26. I'm thinking, Lord, what? We're not getting this. We went through it and it was good. Everything was good. We learned some things, but we're not getting this, how important it is. So I want you to think about this. 7 years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Shemitah. The land rests. And then we start another one. Then the land rests. And we keep doing that. We get to 49 years, and then we have the Yovel, or the Jubilee. Now, the way a Jubilee works is the Jubilee is also year one. I was asked that question at one of the services. Somebody asked me. I was right here. Somebody said, they said it, and I said, absolutely. Because I looked at that, because we don't normally do that. But in the Jubilee, the 49th year, when it's the 50th year, it's counted twice. It's year 50 and year 1, and you start over, 2, 3, 4. And so, how many see that we have a pattern? Starts in the day, goes to the week. We count in the weekly one now, leading the Shavuot. We count in the weekly one, and then it goes annually, and then it goes for what? Jubilees. The question is, how many Jubilees did God give to man? He gave man a set time. Man has a set time. How many Jubilees is it? Think about it. How many Jubilees? How many do you think we've had already? From Adam, how many Jubilees do you think we've had already? Now, we had one Jubilee we did here in 1990. Who said it? What it was? 98. 98. There was this big thing. First time we ever heard the word. We didn't even hear the word before. And I've been in ministry a long time. I never heard it. In 1998, we in the church out there, and everybody, I mean, the TV was blowing up. Everything was blowing up. Jubilees, the Jubilee's here, the Jubilee. We checked with the rabbis. It's the Jubilee. Now, we had no idea if it was a Jubilee or not. So we don't know if we're right or wrong. We're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. So 98 come, we had balloons, we had a cake, we had an absolute smash down party. We were celebrating the Jubilee because it was something to do and everybody was doing. I'm talking about thousands of people all over the United States and around the world were celebrating the Jubilee. Did we check to see if it was right, if we was on the right time? We don't know, it's what they said. So what I did, after the Lord arrested me this last couple weeks, is I tried to learn as much as I possibly could about God's cycle and where we are now. And let me tell you, it's so exciting, yet so dreadful. All at the same time. And so, I want you to find out how many set Jubilees did he give to man? Where are you going to find that at? Everybody say, in the Bible. How many set Jubilees did he give to man? What is the set Jubilees? If he gave 10, then that we come to 10, it's over. If he gave 20, we come to 20, it's over. So could we know how many set Jubilees he gave? Keep this in mind. Unless those days be shortened, the very elect will be deceived. So are we going to go to the fullest of those Jubilees before he returns? With that one verse I just gave you, it's impossible. Because he's going to shorten the time he gave. On purpose he's going to do it because he wants to save folks. So I have a lot of stuff that I can show you and talk about. But I just wanted to put that out to you. that while we just trying to get you to do the Torah portions, there's a lot of stuff being done. And I don't want to miss what he's promised us. So just doing the Torah portions, we're still not getting it all. Because not one of us have participated in a Shemitah year with full understanding. But we knew exactly what to do and how to do it. We have no idea. And so I'm working on it. I'm hopefully be able to have it soon. But I want you to think about how many Jubilee cycles has he promised man? It's in the Bible. You got to do a little work. You got to do a little looking. You got to do a little word search. Because who speaks Hebrew in here? Who speaks Greek? Nobody does. So you're going to have to use some resources, called resources. If you don't have a good lexicon that you're used to using, then you don't even know how to study at all. You got to have a good lexicon. Then you got to have a good commentary. Not one, maybe five of them. And you read all five of them, compare what was said in all five of them, and you're going to see what the majority saying, and can you come up, and then what you know in your heart by a set apart spirit, does it gel? Does it mix? Or is it contrary to it? Or do you trust the Holy Spirit in order for you to apply yourself to study that away? You have to trust God. You have to trust Him. Because anybody in here could be fooled. But you can't fool a set apart spirit. But you gotta trust Him so much that you yield to Him, that you fall and He catches you. When you let go, you can't catch yourself. You have to get to that point in study. And so I encourage you to take some time to do that. So I gave you just a little small peek in to what's going on. Because until we get the Shemitah year down, that's the annual Shemitah, every seventh year, which we've never done, with explanation and understand why he said to do that, and then count 49 of those, making them a time marker. How many know God's cycles are time markers? Genesis, I'm going to give you one verse for you to start. This is your start. Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1:14. The first time I read that scripture, I know exactly where I was standing. I was standing about right here. I had my thing in my hand. I was standing right here when I read that scripture for the first time. Right here. I'll never forget it. The first time I read that verse of scripture. And I explained how the appointed, when it says, let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years, that the word seasons is really moed. The word moed. And it means, it could have been translated appointments. It could have been translated. As a matter of fact, appointments would have been a much better English word to use. But it wasn't used. So if I say seasons, it's very limited. It limits me to four seasons. I think automatically four seasons of the cycle of how weather happens in wintertime, summertime, fall, and spring. I'm thinking about four seasons, and that's it. It puts it in a box, and my mind doesn't go outside that box. But if I look at its original, when it says moed, I don't know what that means at all. So I get a lexicon, I go to Moed, I look up the Strong's number, and I look at Moed and it says it's an appointment. Now, appointment, I'm start asking questions. What appointment? What appointments he's talking about? Because he's using these lights, these two great lights, the sun and the moon, for my appointments. My appointments with him. I mean, see how all of a sudden now you're on a trail. And you're trying to figure out what these appointments are. Then we get to Leviticus. We're reading Genesis, Exodus. We get to Leviticus, and we find out that these appointments is talking about these appointed times, these moeds. The moeds are his appointed times. Get to Leviticus 23, and we're going, wow, this is very important here. These are the times he wants to meet with us. Three times a year. He said, three times a year you're required to go before Yehovah. Can you come empty-handed three times a year? No, why does he say you have to bring something? Because they're linked to something that we want to happen but don't want to actually participate in. The first one we just did, the barley harvest. We're to bring the barley, the first fruit. The first of the first. Now, that's the first time I ever used that term, the first of the first, when speaking on first fruits. But let me tell you why it's the first of the first, because there's two more to go. What's the second one to come? What's the second one to come? Shavuot. We got the wheat harvest. We're to come before Yehovah with the wheat harvest. We got to figure out who's that represent. And I never got to finish the first fruits. And I'm going to have a hard time getting started in with this Torah portion tonight, probably. So I can go on and talk for 4 or 5 hours just on stuff that I never told you. Stuff that's important. Now I know it, and it's helping me throughout living and everything, and I want you to know it. But we set a time. I didn't set this time. Now remember, this day was set for you. Wednesday is the time we set. There's no way you're going to find that we have to meet on Wednesday. So you got me on there. You don't have to. But this time he set. So if he set this time, you're not dealing with me, you're dealing with him. And so there's a lot of information that we need to know. And I can't stress how important it is that we get it in. Should I just go on and tell you? Or make you do the homework? All right, so y'all check it. God gives us 120 jubilees. Because he says his spirit will not always strive. Where's that at? Genesis 6. Down a few verses. I don't know exactly the verse, but I go to 6 and you find it there. 120 days, years, right? Did anybody ever look up years? To see if that's the word, the only word that could be used there? I'd do that if I'd be you. I'd do that. I'd make a note, say, I need to go look at that up. I'd just say, well, that's what it says. That's not being good students of the scripture. Look it up. So we had 120, we have 120 jubilee cycles given to man. Because he said, his spirit will not always strive, but man, his days of his life will be 120 years. So I want anybody here can tell me when you saw the average of a man living 120 years at any time, at any period in time, where'd you seen that to be an average? It's never happened. So is God a liar or did he mean something else? Can I tell you the word is Shana? That word? It's going to be hard for me to spell it. So you see it in Hebrew, you'll see Shana. That's the word. And it could also mean 120 cycles, a revolution of time. Now, does God work in revolution of time? Does he? Well, he started out with a weekly revolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shabbat. That's one revolution of time in a week. Then he starts out and says, now I want you to count 7 revolutions of time to make Shavuot. He's teaching us something. He's teaching us. He's not trying to get us. He's not going to trick us. He's going to come and we're tricked. We all got played. He don't really care. He cares. And he's leaving the information for us. And he said, I want you to have it. And so he gives us this information for us. And he says, now count the Omer. So we count the Omer. We count 7 Sabbaths and then 50. So now we see that this is a revolution of time. That's how we get to Shavuot. And then he says, I tell you what I want you to do. Now they're at Mount Sinai, and they're going to go into the land. He said, when you come, I want you to count 7 years. The seventh year will be a Shemitah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is the Shemitah. And there's things we have to do with that Shemitah. We've got to learn about that. So we participated in it. Why did Israel go into captivity for 70 years with Assyria? Why did they do it? What was the one thing that he said they shouldn't have done? They never done a Shemitah year. He said, "Now the land's going to rest one way or the other. I'll take you out of the land and it'll rest for like, because it's a cycle of time. It's God's way. It's his likes. It's what he likes. Listen, the land's producing for us. It's giving, it's keeping life. It's keeping man alive, keeping man alive, keeping man alive. Year one, year two, year three. And then he says, you know, year four, year five, and year six, he says, I'm going to give you a double portion in year six. Your crops are going to produce more than you ever dreamed. You're going to learn to trust me. I'm Yehovah. And now I don't want you to do nothing on year seven. So where do we see that happen at? When the manna come, they said, this is stuff we never see. We don't even know what it is. What is it? This had to be God. They couldn't tell you what it was. It looked like something, but they couldn't tell you what it was. God says, you go out and gather for 6 days. But the seventh day, you don't go out and gather. You don't have to hoard it in. I'm God. Trust me. If I say you can make it without gathering in for that day, you can make it. If I say you can make it without sowing the seed in the seventh year, you can make it. Trust me, you can make it. Trust me that when Yehovah rains, the former and the latter rain on, it's going to bear, and it's going to bear bumper crop for you. But we don't participate in it. So how many see that we still, while we're going along and we're learning so much and we're feeling good about ourselves, we're patting ourselves on the back and we're about to shout hallelujah, he says, well, let me just tell you, slow down a little bit, my little boy. Slow down. What about this right here? You hadn't done that. When have you done this? Do you really trust what I'm telling you? Are you really serious about putting your faith in me? Are you really trusting what I'm telling you? You never participated in this. And so I'm just giving you some raw stuff. But every scripture, and there are so many of them, to show how that pattern works through scripture is available. It's going to take time to do it. And are we going to be able to do it and do our Torah portions at the same time? No. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to really buckle down and sacrifice to get this in. You say, uh-oh, that sounds like more time coming. You're exactly right. But I'm only going to do it on the day that he set aside. That way, you can't complain about them. You got to tell him about that. You have to complain to God about that. So what we're going to do, mark this down, starting this next Shabbat, not this Shabbat, the next Shabbat, we're going to have food here. You say, who's going to cook the food? You are, and I am. We're all going to do it. And so we're going to have more than one session is what we're going to be doing. And so some of you are shouting hallelujah on the inside, and you don't want people to tell you, get so excited, because why would we do that? Because you're just going to go home. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Go sit on the couch? We're not watching TV or anything. This is the day he picked. And he picked it for a reason, so we can commune with, we're going to lock eyes with him. We're not lock eyes with you, and let him teach us what he wants us to know so we don't miss it. Let me tell you why we have to do this. We have 120 jubilees. Who wants to guess what jubilee we're in now? Who wants to take a guess at the jubilee? Now, we did one in 89. It was really in 86. We missed it by 2 years. That's not bad. 98, we did it. It was in 96. From scripture standpoint. Now, how do you get there? It's a lot of work. A lot of work. And I didn't do the work. I'm doing the work, but it takes a lot of time to get there. Because you got to go back to Adam and count everybody's age that is set in the scripture. And then find out, then you got to go in history and see where we got a pinpoint date that we know is a fact that nobody disagrees with. That's the date that that king reigned, and then you got to back it out. I wish. 119. We in 119, in the 120 cycle, is just about here. And that's all you got. Now before, and again, unless he shortened it, the very elect gets to see you. So how much of that we got left? Who knows? The only thing we got to go on is the cycles and the feast cycles. And so we have to keep count. We have to learn to count. He's telling us right off the front, learn how to count. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water and said, let there be light. And there was light. And he looks at what he did and he calls it the first day. And he saw that it was good, and he goes to the second day. He's teaching us something, right? We're in first grade here. We're in first grade in the kindergarten class. We're writing down our stuff, and they say one, and we learn how the first time we draw a one. We don't want to learn like that because we're grown. We need to learn like that because unless we learn how to count, we'll think a Friday to a Sunday's three. You said, not me. We all thought it was three. We never questioned it. We just thought it was Good Friday. And we count three to Sunday. I don't know how ever Einstein can't get three from Friday to Sunday. Do you understand? He can't do it. I don't know what made us think we could, but we didn't check anything. And so, just keep this in mind. Keep it in mind. Because there's no reason for me to be upset all by myself. So I said, Lord, I'm only going to do when you tell me. When you tell me, it's done. Well, here we are. There's no getting around it. No sense in me being upset by myself. Because let me tell you, it's upsetting to be where we are. You ever been in a spot where you felt a little anxiety come on you? When the time was coming for you to be somewhere, and you knew you had this many more things to do, and you knew it was impossible to get it done? You had to start taking stuff off the do list because you couldn't get it done. And so you made it work, but you didn't feel good about it. And you went anyway, and you said, man, I had a good time, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be because you had plans. Well, how many know a lot of people's got plans? And if you saw on paper what I'm seeing, we would all live our life so different. So different. It's shocking how different we would live our lives. If we just paid attention to what we should pay attention to that's happening around the world, we'd live our life so different. But because we haven't counted good, we haven't been good counters. And what this Torah portion's about? Counting. It's about counting. And let me give you an amazing thing about this Torah portion. There were 600. Can I go to that slide real quick? This is the Levites. So there were 3,550 people counted from age 20 to 60. And they were prepared for what? The first counting was on the ones who were going to what? War. They were in the army. They were the front line. These were the guys that had counted on them. I want to ask you a question. In the end, out of 603,000, what it was? 550. How many do you think made it after the wilderness experience? Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. Now, if that ain't alarming to you, I don't know what else to tell you. Well, I'm going to be all right, me, really. Just the fact that you would say that is alarming to me. I want to make it, but I'm not going to make it unless I first learn how to count and I've realized where I am in time, and I got to get it right, and I got to avail myself more, much more to the things of God and His Word so I can get it in me. Because if you don't know it scripturally, you can't participate in it. What are you going to do a Shemitah cycle, the annually cycle? What are you going to do? Somebody just stand up and tell me. Who wants to tell me right now what you're going to do in the sixth year? What are you going to do in the first year of the Shemitah? What are you doing in the year one? What about year two? What are you going to do in year two? What about year three? What about year six? The sixth year. Are you going to do anything different in the sixth year than you did in the rest of the years? You're going to do something different in the sixth year. The sixth year, what you're going to do, when you did it in the first year, you're not to cut the corners of your field. There's a lesson to learn there. Listen, you don't realize if Boaz would have took everything out the field, he would have never met Ruth. That just that fact that he disregarded that command, he would have never met Ruth. You think that would have changed some things in cycle? Better believe it. We got to actually do the things that he's telling us to do because they're important. Everything's important. God's not just saying stuff so he can fill up the pages of the Bible so we have something to read. These are important things to our life. He's telling us things that are important to us. So in year one, you're not to cut the corners of your field. Who can come and get the stuff out of your field? Anybody that wants. And you're not to have an attitude about it. Mom, we got to first learn about the attitude because we want to take it all. I work for it. I pay for it. It's mine. That's our attitude. But we're learning something in year one. We're learning to be okay with giving to other people and being a blessing to somebody else. They don't even have a field, but they can eat my field whenever they want. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave that extra. I'm not going to cut the corners. That's what he told me to do. I'm not going to do it. Where did we learn that at? In the Torah portions. Year two, what are we doing? The same thing. Year three, we're doing the same thing. By year six, we catching on. Okay, this is normal. We don't cut the corners. But year six, not only don't we don't cut the corners, we don't have to take it all. Because it's so much. The barn we had that was normally filling up, we filled it up twice already, and we still got a barn full out there. So what do we want to do? We want to build another barn. And we want to put another account. We want to save more money because this is my year. Okay, don't leave it in the field because that seed's going to fall to the ground and Yehovah is going to bring the next crop, the seventh year, in which you didn't have to plant for because he told you not to. It's going to be planted in itself. And can you eat from that? Absolutely. Can you harvest it and sell it? Absolutely not. We're to trust Yehovah. Plus, you got enough in the barn, you filled it up twice. If that ain't enough, you're living above your means. Don't do that. Don't try to live above your means. And that's what we practice that. Is that God's way? It's not His way, that's the world's way. And those are the things that come last to take off the list. We living above our means. You ever heard the term, we're spending too much. I don't have enough. You know, if I don't work 7 days a week, I don't have enough. You're spending too much. If I don't work 7 years in a row, I can't miss it. You're spending too much. Is this helping anybody? And so we learn something, that God's going to do His thing, what He does, in the seventh year. And then, so we eat the produce the seventh year, the eighth year, and the ninth year, then we can plant. But then you have to wait. So you see that you're waiting on God all this time, you're having to wait on Him? Because once you don't plant, guess what happens the next year? It's less. But is He going to take care of you? Either He's a liar or He's going to do what He said. The children of Israel never got that. They never learned that. That's why to this day, everybody say this day. To this day, even the Jews can't really figure out what Shemitah cycle we're in. the Jubilee cycle. So if you're going online, you'll do like I did. I'm going to tell you what I did. I went online and said, so I called this year. We're in the Smita now, right? Because that's what it says online. But is it real? You go online, everybody says this year the Smita cycle. This year right now. It ends in September. We started in September, it ends in September. But is it? It's not. The next cycle is 2023. I'd write that down. So while you're doing your little homework, you'll find it. 2023. Now, I said a lot of stuff, but it's got to be proven, right? So that's your job. It's got to be proven. You can't just say it. It's got to be proven. How are you going to prove it? You're going to prove it with the Bible. Now, some are saying it can't be done. If it can't be done, then why would God teach us how to count? And why would he tell us the number that we need to know? What's the magic number we need to know? 120. What's Shana? A revolution of time. Could it be translated years? It could. But a lot of things could be translated. Love is agape. And it's also philios. Depends what the context tells you to set it. So he said, man will have 120 revolutions of time. Does that make a lot of sense? Makes a lot of sense to me. And then once you see, do the numbers match? And then you got to go back and you got to read Leviticus 26 again. You have to go back and read Leviticus 26. If you don't go back and read Leviticus 26, everything I'm telling you doesn't matter. And if you read 26, if you're reading 26, you should have read 25. What is 25 talking about? Verse 1. When you come into the land, it tells you about the Shemitah cycle. You have to keep. Did they keep it? They didn't do it. They didn't trust Yehovah enough. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. We can't do it. We're going to put ourselves in a bond. Well, they paid the price dearly for that. Out of 600 and 3,550, two made it out of that group. When you say it like that, it kind of gets you to think a little bit. How am I going to make it? What am I going to be doing different that sets me apart like a Joshua and a Caleb that I'm paying attention to what God said? Am I really realizing that what he says is for my benefit, not to hurt me? He's not trying to hurt me. It's for my benefit. And so when I started doing this Torah portion, I said, Lord, you know, here I am. I'm doing all this work, looking at all this stuff for the first time. For the first time, I've studied the Bible I believe I'm a student of the Scripture. I studied for a long time, but this is the first time I'm doing this part. I've never done this part. So to me, it was like I felt the same seriousness and the grip in my heart like I did when the Lord first said, you better take another look at the chart. And when I looked at the Bible again and realized that we were doing things completely opposite of what he said, and we started down the path that we're on now, I felt that same thing. So, I never ask God for a sign about anything. If he tells me, I'm going to do it, and I'll just bear the consequences. If I'm wrong, I'm not afraid to tell you I'm wrong. Just like I told you that Smita year was probably 90 this year, but it's not. I'm correcting that. Because I just went online, I did a quick search, and it pops up. You could do that, but then I got to check it. How'd they get there? It's a guess. And they tell you it's a guess. Well, I don't want you to be guessing when you're trying to figure out where you are in time, as being prepared and making sure you're meeting when he tells you to meet. I want you to be at Shavuot when he tells you to be there. And I'm not so sure with all the messianic stuff going on and the Hebrew root stuff going on and all the fighting and the bickering back and forth about who's got it right and all that. I can't take that. But that's exactly what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to make it this chaotic thing. Our goal is we have to get serious enough to sit down and have our feelings hurt by this. It's okay. Your feelings are going to get, you're going to get over it. You get over it. Kids, your kids, man, they'll get in the corner and say, I'm so mad at you. The next time they're going, oh, mama. They get over it. This is what it does. But everybody's going to have their time. And so you might get mad at me, but you'll get over it. Trust me, you'll get over it. And it's just, it's going to be okay. But listen, in the end, our goal is to find out what he's telling us. Because that's the important thing. And I have a responsibility to you that you make it. And I think about that every night. I don't want to be this guy. I want you all to make it. I hate for you to do it all your life and you come up short. So we have to be passionate about it. I don't want the responsibility, but here it is. But I'm not going to try to pass it on to the next guy. I understand what God says. He says, and that's it. You can't negotiate with God. There is no negotiating. But I asked him, I said, Lord, somehow, I never ask him for any, like if you'll just show me a sign. I believe he's God and what he says is what he says. But I asked him, I said, Lord, it's my first time. I'm going to ask you to just give me a sign. I want to make sure I'm on the right, am I on the right track or not? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I am or maybe I'm not. So let me just see if I could do this real quick. I didn't plan this. Could you help me, Michelle? Girl, if you don't be serious. Let me see that. That was sent to me after we had our meeting here yesterday. We had a meeting here with some Amish ladies, and I told them my whole story and where we was and what we were doing. They come here on a trip. They was going to Texas, went to Texas, and the guy that was driving them was a volunteer here, drove Mr. Dave and Dan here, and he said, I want to take you out to a special place. On their trip, their tour, they was in Texas, went to the Alamo and all that. They're driving through, and you don't just come by and slide in the Burris. But he said, I want to take y'all to a special place. I want y'all to meet these people. So he called Brother Chad, because he fished with me and Chad, the group fished with me and Chad. And Chad called me, said, did you talk to the guy? I said, no, I never talked to him. But then he called me right after I talked to Pastor Chad, Brother Chad. And anyway, I told him, I said, well, Wednesday we have our service. Y'all get in late Wednesday, it'll probably be hard. He said, we won't do Wednesday, we'll do Thursday. I'll call you when we get there. So we set it up for Thursday. So anyway, we come here, and there was six Amish ladies and him. He was the driver. They were up on a levee. And I brought him in the church, and I just shared our testimony with him about how God brought us and where we are now and how we're doing our services on Shabbat and everything and just ministering to him. Well, anyway, I don't have to explain to you. When you hear the story, it's emotional. And so we standing there in the foyer there, and everybody's in tears. Everybody. It's me and Charlotte, and the driver, and all six girls, and it's just something about the presence of God. Anyway, they leave. And I asked the Lord to just give me something. It doesn't have to be something big. And I even asked Charlotte, maybe, do you think this is it? They sent this picture to me, and he says, let me read it. I'll read it to you what he said so you'll see exactly. Just wanted to share this photo from today like a light from heaven shining right in the middle of your sign. Now, I didn't take this picture. If I'd have took it, I couldn't have called it a sign. And you might not even think it's a sign, but it don't matter what you think. To me, that morning I asked God for that. Am I on the right track? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because if not, you just like it came to me, you could take it away. And I'm asking you to remove it from my thoughts. If not, then I want to be so hungry and so determined to learn this with everything in my heart, because I have a whole group of people that I don't want to see one of them miss you. I want them to, we've been in this race a long time, and we don't want to get to the final stretch of the race and somehow we peter out. We've been in this race way too long. I think about you guys that's been in the race a long time, and I want you to, when he comes, I want you to be ready. I want you to be counting correctly, doing what he asks us to do. Because everything I see in the scripture, it's about cycles of time, and he never breaks that cycle. Remember, the counting don't work if you add in. It don't work. If you take out, it don't work. You have to count in his cycles and his time. You have to stay with his count. What's his count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the Shabbat. That's what he starts us with. And that 7 day, what did he do? He set it apart. He sanctified it. That's sanctified. Is the Shabbat for him? Or is it for us? It's for us. We need it. He said, hey, you don't realize how bad you need it. Because if you don't learn that, you're going to miss everything else. If you don't learn that, you're missing everything. And we'll never get the cycle, the revolution of times. We never get that. But here's the thing that disturbs me every night since the Lord opened my eyes to this. Unless I shorten those days, you won't even make it. So we don't know what that is. He don't tell us what that is. So we have to trust him. So we know that he does that. He does shorten the time, because he says 6 years you'll plant, but the seventh year you won't plant. So Shemitah year. What do you have to do in that time waiting for him? 7, 8, 9. What do you got to do? Trust him. Trust him that he's gonna bring the amount of stuff you need. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. And so we see that happening. And so I wanted to just kind of take a little bit off my chest and tell you that tonight. So I hope that it energizes you in a way that you'll take a little bit of time just to look at it. Take some time to look at it. It's very important. Now, Genesis 1:14, he gave two great lights, and let them be, let me just go to it and read it, because sometimes I quote it from two different versions, because I was so used to the other version when I learned it. So I'm going to go and read it. And Elohim said, let lights come up to be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and appointed times, that's correct, and for days and years. Now, how many want to guess the word years, what that is? Shana. So now let's go to Genesis 6. Verse 3, and Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever in his going astray. His flesh and his days shall be 120 years. How many want to guess what that is, that year? What is it? Shana, both of them the same. The two great lights are to tell us what the revolution of times are. But there's going to be a time where the moon won't give its light nor the sunshine. What do you do then? How do you stay up with time? You understand my point? He said, in these days, the moon won't give its light. It won't. You won't see it. You can't count. You can't see when the sliver, when you first see the sliver of the moon, then you know it's a new month. You can't stay in tune. What are we supposed to do? I wish I had the time just to take off and do it now. I want you to write this down. I want you to go find out what Noah did when he couldn't see it when he was in the ark. Because he had to stay in the ark for so long, but he couldn't see the moon. He didn't know what month it was. What did he do to count? Because was he commanded to count? Go read it. Go find out. Take some time. Go find out that he had to do something. And if we use that same thing during that time, we can come to the time that Yeshua is going to return for us. And where are we at that cycle? The 119th Jubilee cycle of 120. Now, when I say 119, I want you to understand, 119 is done. The 120 cycle is all we got. We're in 120, and we're in there. How many cycles in the Jubilee do you have? If we count cycles of years. Because we got to learn how to count cycles of years. Why? Because we're supposed to keep a smita. But we don't count cycles of years. So how many cycles of smitas do you have in a Jubilee? Seven. Isn't that amazing? And the next one is the 50th. And when we finish that one, that's the finish of the 120. Remember how it counts. We're finishing 20, 120. You know, when it gets to 120, you're not starting 120, you're finishing it. Does that make sense to everybody? So 19's done. We're in 120, and we got 120. That's what's promised to us. You think maybe we got to pick the pace up a little bit? You think maybe we're not going to sleep as much as we've been sleeping? We're not going to think everything else that we got to do and it's important is not so important no more? We better start thinking in those terms, because I know what cycle we in the 120th Jubilee. Do you want to know what cycle we in? Now, we don't know because we hadn't been counting. You see how crippled we are? We hadn't kept up with it. Nobody's kept up with it. We haven't done it. Not even the Jews. There's nobody doing it. Nobody that I know of is doing it, with the exception of a couple people that I met. That's even trying to attempt to learn it. Yet it's a command. So we can't say we're keeping the commands of God, all of them, when we're not even keeping that. And this is simple counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Shabbat. 7 Shabbat. 7, 1 Shabbat, 2 Shabbat, 3 Shabbat, 4 Shabbat, 5 Shabbat, 6 Shabbat, 7. That's Shavuot. He teaches us in cycles. Why did he do that? Because that's the only way we understand the 120. We can't understand it. And so, I want you to find out what cycle we in. Are we in the first cycle? Second cycle? Third cycle? Fourth cycle? Fifth cycle? Sixth cycle? What cycle are we in? Because the seventh, when the 120 is finished, what is next? When the 120 is finished, what is next? And do we have the whole 120? Do we get the whole thing like the years before? If he shortens it, how do we get the whole thing? How much is he going to shorten it by? We don't know. Do you see how critical it is? We don't know what he's going to shorten it by, but we know we're in it. But we don't know what he's going to shorten it by, because if he says if he don't shorten it, the very elect will be deceived. What's going to be so deceptive in the world that's going to cause you to want to quit keeping Shabbat? To quit counting again? To go back to the old ways? What's going to be so bad? Read Leviticus 26. There's the if and then. If you do this, when you're doing it, do you have to worry about anything? You don't have to worry about nothing. If you're not cutting the corners of your field, meaning you're obeying him, do you have to worry about your crops growing the next year? No, because Jehovah said, you honored me, I'm going to bless those every seed you put in the ground. Next year you're doing it. If you've done it all the way to 6 years, what do you think is going to happen in year 7, year 8, 9? He's going to take care of you. That's what he's trying to get people to understand. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to attend to you. In a bit more, what he's saying here, he said, I want you to understand that if you'll count, get the guys ready, these are the guys that's going to be at the perimeter. They're going to protect everything. Then he worked from the outside and he worked in. And then he got the Levites. Where were they camped? They were right around the fencing area of the tabernacle. They were tight quarters. Why? Because they had to be the first to be on hand to take it down. They couldn't be coming from, can you imagine all these people? You're not 100 feet away. You're thousands of feet away with all these camps, everybody camped out. You're thousands of feet away. They had to be handy. Take it down, put it up. Take it down, put it up. So who was the first to get on site? Levites. They had to be ready to go. And then he takes those leaders that we're going to name in the scripture. We name the leaders. They're the next line. And then they're the leaders. They picked out from all the, we get the 12 sons of Jacob. They picked the sons, and their leaders are put there. And the only difference we have in Yosef, we have Ephraim and Manasseh, because those were the boys that was born to him in Egypt. So you see this wonderful thing painted out with this Torah portion here. So it may seem that I'm a little bit off on this Torah portion, but I'm right on it, because it's about counting. It's about learning how to count, and that's why the Lord designed it this way. He did this. And so, taking the time, and so what I'm excited about, not this one, when we start, but next Shabbat, bring food. He said, what are we going to bring? Make your sandwich tray. Because we're going to have a break, and when we have a break, it's not break, go home, and I'm going to order me something. You go somewhere or whatever, sit around, and while we eat, midrashing with somebody and talking to them about what we just talked about. Hey, what did you find? Did you find anything? And if you're going, no, I didn't even look at it yet, they're going to say, man, we better get more serious. And you can't get your feelings hurt when they say that. But see, we're right on the edge of just being mad. We haven't seen, because when you know where you are, you won't get mad no more. You'll be mad, but you'll be mad at yourself and mad at the devil for being a liar and a deceiver. If you want to focus your energy somewhere, focus it that way. Refuse to have him one time get any excitement out of you breaking the commands of Yehovah. I'm not going to do it no more. I'm going to serve him. You want to get him mad? Do that. Obey God. Because that's what we're going to need. And so we'll have the regular Torah portions, but when we break out and come back, it's going to be completely off of that, and we'll start down this track, and I'm going to give you every single thing that I can get my hands on dealing with understanding the Jubilee cycles, understanding what it means and where we are. What cycle are we in is what you need to try to find. What cycle are we in? Very important. Now, anybody have any questions? No questions. After all that, not one question. Where we are, brother? Time-wise.
11 minutes. On first CD.
That's plenty. I got time. So I'm going to give you a little bit of this just to show you how important it is on what Torah portion we're in. And I don't know if you noticed, but all of our Torah portions have been exactly what we needed for the time we're in. Now, is that an accident? Or is he trying to show us something on purpose? He really wants us to know. But I can't emphasize enough how you got to just pull a time out and go back and read 25 and 26 again in Leviticus. You have to. Take your time and look at it, because in 26 is the answer of the cycle we're in. Now, it's not in plain speech. In Daniel 9 will help you. And Daniel 8. But 9 is focused on 9. Is it in plain speech? No. Why? Because he was told not to do it. But it will come to be revealed when? In the end, I'll unfold it to him. So if he's unfolding it, could we be? So I have a chart I can pull up right now and show you all the answers. In color chart to show you exactly where we are. I can pull it up right now off this iPad, but I'm not going to do that. Because you got some time to at least let it soak in. Now, I'm not going to promise you I won't do it in the morning now. Depends. But I do have a chart for you to look at. But I'm sure you can find it. I didn't make the chart. I got the chart. I bought the chart. I had to buy it. And then I had to verify the chart. To do that, it's a lot of time to verify it. Because if it makes sense with the scripture and the overall Bible, to me that makes sense. But if it don't make sense and it gets all squirrely, I got no time to fool with squirrely stuff. I don't have time for that. And that's what people are doing in this movement. They're making things so scrambled, you don't know what to do. Simple stuff, they're making very difficult. This is not, he said, his Torah is not heavy. It shouldn't be a burden on us down. The only time it becomes, there's two ways that makes it a burden. We add to it, and we don't want to do it. Two ways it becomes a burden. You don't want to do it, and you add to it. And those, both of those things we're not to do. We're supposed to yield to Jehovah. We want him to save us. We want him to give us life eternal. We want him to do those things. We want that. But we're missing some things. So maybe I'll just read the scripture, see if we can read the scripture. Well, let's go to slide 3. That's a good spot to start. Chapter 1, we will look at the census of the warriors 20 years old and upward. That upward number is 60. The Levites are not counted for war. Not counted for war. Y'all good? Oops. So they're not counted for war. They camp. The camps are pitched. So we're going to see how he sets the order of the camp. Now, could they camp any kind of way they want it? Well, you're walking through the wilderness and you're tired. I'm tired. I stayed up all night. My kids got cholera and we didn't have supper till 10 o'clock. He's tired of hearing all that complaining. He said the camp's got to be set this way, you set that way. So he put those that needed to be in the west, they were in the west. You're the west group. So when he says all the west group, get in the spot, they had to go to the east. Did they go to the east? No, they went to the west because they were the west group. The east group went to the east. The north group went to the north and the south group went to the south. And the people that was in those positions were strategically positioned there for a reason. Here's the thing. God's just trying to show you he's a God of order. And he's showing how much chaos is in our life when we don't want to obey. When he says go, we say stop. He says stand, we sit. He says, clap your hands, we sit on our hands. And we got to get out of that habit. What are we resisting for? Let's not resist him. He's the God that loves us. He agapes us. And we have to have that same love toward him. When we do, it's absolutely incredible. And so, I'm not going to read the next one, we're going to read chapter 1. A census of Israel's warriors. Who's a warrior in here? You're afraid to answer. I mean, afraid, just afraid. I ain't no warrior. Don't put me in the fight. Not me. I ain't no warrior. Well, he's trying to count you. He considers you a warrior. Why? Because he knows if you do what he asks you to do, there's nothing can stop you from accomplishing what you need to accomplish. I better read him, Brother Rob. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai in the Tent of Appointments on the first day of the second new moon in the second year after they had come out of the land of Mitzrayim. Now, did we learn anything in verse 1? We learned what month it is. What month is it? What month is it? What day is it? First day. Now, is that hard? That's the stuff you're going to have to do to figure out what cycle we're in. You have to look at these numbers in the scripture. Numbers in the scripture, you have to look at them. We know what month it is. Did it say it was the second month? Did it say that? It never said it was the second month. It says it's the second new moon. But how do we know what that means? Because that's what God used in Genesis 1:14 to tell us how you figure things out. These two great lights shall be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. The word seasons there again is moed. It means appointed times. And the word years there is revolutions of time. So you're going to have to use these. Do we need to pay attention when we look at the moon and the sliver of the moon? Now, what was told to you, say, 20 years ago in Christianity about looking up at the stars and following the sky and all that? What was told to you? It was what? Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. That's evil. That's because Satan tried to hijack all these signs in the sky and bring a bad connotation to those signs. And so people quit looking. Quit counting. Just quit. So you're not counting. Some person come along can tell you anything. You don't know. You have no idea. You quit counting. And if we tried to start counting right now, which we're commanded to count right now in this Torah portion, we can't start because we don't know where to start. Where do we actually start? So if you had to count, if your test was you got to count where we are now, find out where we are right now, where do you start? How do you figure that out? You see how lost we are? Can we know this? We can know it, but we have to take some time to look at it. So here he's given us times like this. He said the first day of the second new moon. That's the second month, and it's the first day of the month. So we have a time stamp. That's called a time stamp. Everybody says time stamp. He gives us time stamps all through the scripture. What's the time stamp for Passover? Somebody tell me. Please tell me. It starts, when should you start preparing for Passover? On the what? Of the first month? What is the first month called? It's two words it's called. One, it starts with an N. The other one starts with an A. Aviv and Nisan, that's right. And we're to start in the first month on the what day? Preparing. The 10th. That's a time stamp. He tells us. So every first month, you mean the first month is not January? You understand my point? God has a time stamp in Scripture. He calls the first month is when? What time of the year? In the spring. It's the spring. It's when things are coming to life. Why? Because he's all about life. And where does he take us from Genesis 1? Where does he take us from what to what? From darkness to light. That's God. He's agapes us. That's why. He's not trying to trick us. There's no trick here. He's not trying to pull one over our eyes. He loves us so much. He left every kind of breadcrumb he could leave in Scripture for us to get it. But we haven't done that because we got sidetracked by so many things. We've been sidetracked. So notice what he says. So I can tell you, you know about time stamps. So 4 days after the 10th, what are you doing? You should be, had the lamb, it's taken, and you're inside. What does being inside mean? You've accepted the covenant. You walked over the threshold. Now you're in a threshold covenant. The house you're in, the keeper of the house is your keeper. Who's the keeper of the house? The keeper is Jehovah. He's the keeper, and you're under his. And I know I'm. You don't even have to. You can stop it, brother. You don't have to keep going on. But I'm just going to say one more thing, or two. Now, I was going to read chapter 1, but now you got to read it. And let me tell you, chapter 1's got some names in it. It is wonderful. But what you do, you take your lexicon. Take your lexicon, and you look up every name, and you can pronounce it in the Hebrew. They'll give you a pronunciation for it. And it's audio. Boom. It's amazing. Electronic lexicons are absolutely God's gift to us. In the last days, he said, knowledge would increase. It would increase. And so I want my knowledge to increase. Because I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I felt like I don't know nothing. And so I want my knowledge to increase. Because I want us to make it. I don't want us to just be going through the motions. I want to make it, and I want you to make it. And the way we're going to make it, we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. What we don't know, we don't know, and we can't kid ourselves. You can't fake this. You know, there's a saying, fake it till you make it. That don't work in the kingdom of God. You don't fake anything. You better know what you know. You better know what you know. Those slayings don't work in the kingdom of God. You ain't got to fake anything. You can know what he wants you to know. He'll unfold it. And he said it. He told Daniel, he said, when you write this vision, by the 70th week, you'll see that 9. He said, don't write it so they can understand it. We're going to write it at the end, they'll understand it, but now they won't. They won't see it. So don't be, there's no reason for us to be irate about what people didn't tell you in the past. They couldn't tell you. There was no way for them to know until God decides when he unfolds it, and he's decided. That decision has been made for us. And I can show you, when you take some time to go look at it, it won't take you long, you'll be right on track. Now, how God did it for me, he might not do it for you. I don't know, but he's no respecter of person. I prayed and asked God the night before that I said, Lord, how can I teach people if you don't tell me? And there's something I'm missing. I'm missing something, and I can't put it together. I'm seeing all the rest of the picture, but this part right here is missing unless you show me. And the very next morning, boom, there it was on reading Leviticus 25. And we was already finished with that Torah portion. And I knew I had to find something about this out. I knew it was there, and I know I can't be the only person in the world that's looking for this. I know that. There's too many people in the world. We got 7 billion people or so in the world. There's too many people in the world. And let me tell you, this thing's got to be serious to us, because what's happening around the world is fitting the cycles of Leviticus 26. You'll find that out quickly when you read it. I mean, to the T. Leviticus 26, things that he talked about, even Katrina fits it. Exactly, the year fits it in the annual cycles, in the Shemitah cycles. It fits it exact. COVID fits it exact. The war with Russia and Ukraine exactly fits it. So, and listen, when you do this, it has to fit from Genesis all the way through the Bible. You can't change your math. You counting the way he said to count, you can't change it. And you can't fudge dates. That's what they did. We got 3 of the top chronologists. How many know what a chronologist is? 3 of the top in the world. They fudge their dates. They find out they fudge their dates in their books to make a certain theology be right. How many's ever heard of Simon Bar Kokhba? He was the Judaizers' Messiah at one time. He was the guy. He was fitting the bill. And they had to fudge the dates to make it him be born at a certain time. So Simon, he was the Messiah. How many know that was found out to not be true? But they were trying to get their Messiah, because they couldn't see that. The Torah spoke about a Messiah, and they couldn't understand. Again, another word I'd go look up, write this down, I'd go look up Mashiach. Because you're going to come across that word in Daniel. And a Mashiach doesn't just mean Messiah Yeshua. Who else was a Mashiach? Somebody give me a couple of answers. Who else was a Mashiach? Kings of Israel when they got anointed, it made them what? Mashiachs. Is there more than one? Of course. So they would use the word Mashiach. They're the anointed. One of the most famous ones is King David. He's a Mashiach. Now we know Messiah is the English translation of Mashiach. The Hebrew word is Mashiach. But you're going to find in Daniel this talk about a Mashiach or a Messiah. So they translated it Messiah. And the moment we see Messiah in the English translation, what's the first person that pops in our head? Yeshua. The question is, and the Lord rested me about this when I was doing the Revelation series. And let me just tell you, the Revelation series that we did here, that we put out, that was our best guess. Best guess that we knew at the time. But during that study, this Mashiach thing came up and I couldn't remedy it. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't figure it out. But in my mind, in my heart, I knew it was speaking about something else. And you got to find out what that is. Because it says, Messiah the Prince. You'll find that in Daniel 9, Messiah the Prince, that term. When you find that, I'm asking you to take some time and think about that. And I want you to ask yourself a question. At what time, at any time, was Messiah Yeshua ever a prince? Then the question is, well, who is that he's talking about? You see what I'm talking about? There's more to the Bible than just picking Torah portions and come up here. Anybody can do what we're doing here, Torah portion teachings. You can do it. It takes just a little bit of your time during the week. You put some stuff together and you can come do it. But when you're talking about grabbing hold to the scripture to tell where people are, where what we're doing, you got to go past just reading. It's past reading. It's sitting down, allowing the presence of Jehovah to minister to your heart, to open up your understanding. And you ask a question. If you don't know, ask. A simple question. I just asked him. And he'll tell you. The only reason we ever come down this trail we're on right now, where we are right now, is a simple question. Lord, what are we missing? Why are we missing it? What do we have to do to fix it? And he told me. Same thing with this. What are we missing? I read 25 and he says, when you enter the land, you shall keep this to me. This is a command. So if it's a command and I'm not doing it, and he tells me I have to, and I don't know how to do it, and I can't go online and find somebody who is doing it. I can't find somebody who's actually doing it correctly. How am I supposed to know how to do it? So I asked the question, where do we start? What about starting with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? I said, well, that's easy. I can count to 7. If we can get one of the girls come up here and count for us. One of y'all come up here and count for me. Y'all know how to count? Y'all learning anything? Who's y'all teacher? Just one of y'all come count for me. Okay, listen good what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to count to 7. Now turn around and count to 7. One. Hold up. Why are you starting with 1?
Because it's the first day.
So she didn't say 3, 4. She knew. She's counting to 7 for me. What she starts with?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
She can count. Tell your teacher I'm impressed. Okay, thank you. She can count to 7. You know, you get your kids up and they'll show you something. But we haven't learned to do it because he told us to. So if I'm counting to 7, I learn something. I learn that it's a cycle. It's a cycle of time. And I'm learning that. And then he tells me to count 7 cycles. And then the next day is the Shavuot. I'm learning that. Then he tells me to keep a Shemitah cycle. But I'm not doing that. Am I going to wind up in the right place at the right time? Everybody say, probably not. Because that's the truth. Now that one we never done. So we don't know where we are. Wouldn't it be something to know where you are? Because I can tell you, if you knew where you were, you would do things completely different than you do now. You would see the urgency of why we have to commit our lives, every second of our lives, to getting this, and tell every person we love, if you have any ounce of love for a person, you won't pass up an opportunity to tell them, take a look at this. You say, well, they won't hear me. Go ahead and predict it ahead of time. Don't let God be God in your life. I can't help a person who just has nothing but negative come out of their mouth. I can't help you. But you allow God, the presence of God. You ever wondered, if you're sowing the seed, you won't reap a harvest? If you sow the seed, don't get weary in well-doing. You'll reap if you faint not. We can't faint in this process. We got to be serious. And so you won't miss an opportunity because you know where you are. You know the time you're in. And you know what's left. And you're going, okay, this is crazy. Well, let me tell you, that thing hit me like a ton of bricks. And some people don't want to know. They don't want to know. Because they don't want to face reality. It's real. This is real. If it's not real, then why don't we all pack our stuff up and go home and forget this ever happened? We lock the doors and never come back in this place ever again because it's a big waste of time. But if what we're doing, we believe it's real, and we can know what he told us we can know, why wouldn't we want to know it? Unless we live in fear. We don't have perfect love cast out what? Fear. Perfect love cast out fear. It has no room for fear. So when you love in Yehovah the way you're supposed to with that 15 characteristics of agape, let me tell you what's going to happen. You want to know what you can know. You don't want to avoid it. Why don't we want to know? Because we don't want to do it. Don't tell me nothing no more. I don't want to hear nothing no more. And we kind of shake it out. You ain't going to be able to shake out this out of your head. It's got you now. The word has went forth, and it's going to get you tonight. You're going to try. I got to go to sleep. And you're going to wake up the next morning. You're going to grab it again. And you're going to want to know. You want to know. Trust me. You want to know. Because God is letting us know before it's too late that this is what my plans was the whole, and it's not changing this plan. You don't have to go back and change anything. Matter of fact, you'll see why he told us to keep these cycles and feast days and why he called them appointed times. They're special moments. They're time stamps in life. Can't change them for nothing. They're time stamps. And I can tell you, you'll see all these time stamps. They're all through the scripture. You'll see them. And let me give you one more thing that's going to be helpful. Well, let me wait. Let me wait on that. Because I see it in my mind, but I can't say for sure what time of the year. Because you're going to have to understand, you're going to be from Adam. Calendar count is in the negative. If you don't understand BC, EC, and AD, it's going to be difficult for you to do this. Does that make sense? Because you got to know what to do. And so when I got to that part, I was like, okay, why are we subtracting? You understand that? And your brain goes, woo! You know, if I'm counting from one, why am I subtracting now? Because that's how the calendars were. So let me just tell you, if you don't get to understand the Gregorian calendar, the Hebrew calendar, and the calendar where you actually sight the moon and know all three of them inside and out, you won't get this. You're headed down nothing but confusion. You say, why do I have to keep the Gregorian? I thought we was getting away from that. Because we still keep dates in it, and you won't be able to match the two unless you know the dates in the one you're in. Does that make sense? And let me tell you, once the figures come in, they come out perfect. They're not a year off. They're perfect. And so take some time to look at it, and I'll be handing out. As soon as I get my hands on the literature that should be in Wednesday or Thursday, I'll be handing it out. So you won't be left without some resource. All right? God bless you. Love you. Thank God for you.